Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechurus Daf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin from the Mishnah that's found at the very bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, Kohanim ulevim pturim mikal v'chomer. Kohanim and Levim are exempt from the redemption of firstborn. Now, Rashi points out that the understanding, the initial understanding, is the exemption regarding the redemption of the firstborn donkeys, the Peter Chamor. And how do we know this? Mikal v'chomer. We know this from Kal v'chomer logic. Impotru es shel Yisrael v'amidbar, din hu shiyiftaru es shel atzmon. Here too, we have to resort or rely upon Rashi to set us up for the meaning of this. This explanation will undergo change when we learn the Gemara itself. So the Kal v'chomer is saying that if it is so that the Levim themselves were able to exempt the donkeys of the Jews in the desert, firstborn donkeys of the Jews in the desert, namely, if the Levim themselves, the human beings, Levim, the human Levi, was able to exempt the donkeys of the Jewish people in the Midbar, so certainly they should be able to exempt their own. The explanation that we gave, as we said, will undergo undergo change as we learn the Gemara. But what we see here is the Jewish people, when they left Mitzrayim and sojourned in the Midbar, there was an exemption, exemption of firstborn donkeys, Kedushas Peter Chamor. The understanding, as we said, as far as the Mishnah is concerned at this point, but it's going to undergo immediate change, is that the Levim themselves are responsible for the redemption of the Kedusha, of the sanctity of the Jewish people's firstborn donkeys. So now, the Gemara at the very top of the Dalid asks, with a tone of wonderment, Inhu Patri? Is it so that the Levim themselves are responsible for the redemption of the firstborn donkeys of the Jewish people? That's not really so. And just note that the Gemara is in a question mode for the next three lines. You can see we have a long question marking, a kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara with a descending dashed line. So the Gemara is asking, are you really saying, like we suggested, that the Levim themselves are responsible for this redemption or exclusion of the Jewish people's firstborn donkeys in the Midbar? That's not so. Odom potar. The Levim were responsible for the redemption or exemption from firstborn status of the Jewish people. In other words, the people of the tribe of Levi absorbed the sanctity that had been upon the firstborn people. It might as well be noted that before this transfer of sanctity from the firstborn to the Levim, there was an expectation that the firstborn of the entire Jewish people, that they would serve as what we know today as the Kohanim, or in, as the Kahuna, or, and the Leviah. They would serve in the eventual Beis HaMikdash. However, in the Midbar, this changed, and the Levim became the designated tribe to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kahuna capacity. So this change operates as follows, that the Levim took over for the firstborns, and that's what's meant by Odom, Odom Potar, and Behemoth, the sheep of the Levim, Behemoth Potra. They were responsible for the redemption of the firstborn donkeys. There is a halacha that we will be seeing more of when one has a firstborn donkey. Either one redeems it by setting aside a sheep in its stead, or if one refuses to do that, so then the neck of the firstborn donkey is to be broken. So here our Gemara is telling us that in the Midbar, the firstborn donkeys of the Jewish people were redeemed through the sheep of the Levim. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "Kach es halavim tachas bechor bivnei Israel, ve'es behemas halavim tachas behemton." Now you can see in this pasuk that the Levim serve instead of the firstborn people of the Jews, and the behemas halavim, the sheep of the Levim, are instead of the firstborn donkeys. In other words, the redemption takes place through the sheep of the Levim, thereby redeeming the sanctity from the firstborn donkeys of the Jewish people in the Midbar. So our question is basically raised, how are we to understand the Mishnah in light of the information just revealed through the Pasuk? So at this point in the Gemara, you will notice that we have diamonds, and we, on the side of our Gemara, the outside margin of our Shas Ozer, that is the marked Gemara that appears on your screen, you notice in the outside margin the expression Nosei, a topic heading, Shevet Levi, Pturin, Upotru Es Yisrael. The tribe of Levi are exempt from the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, and they exempt the Yisrael as well. They are responsible for the exemption, or the redemption, we should say, of Yisrael. And the Mivneh are diamonds. You can see Mivneh is a reference to the structure of the Gemara. In the diamonds that you see in the Gemara present our gishois, our approaches, Bahavonas HaMishnah, to the understanding of the Mishnah. In other words, what is the Mishnah on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis trying to say? So we'll see Abaye's approach. He is noted as number one. There's a little one you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And a few lines later, number two, as presented by Rava. So the Gemara. Omar Abaye. Hochi ko'omar. Thusly, we are to understand the Mishnah. Koyanim Ulevim. Pturin behemton mikavachomer. According to Abaye, the focus of the Mishnah is on the behemos, on the animals. And we're saying that the animals owned by the Kohen Levim are exempt. In other words, the firstborn donkeys owned by Kohen Levim are exempt from the mitzvah of Peter Chamor. Mikavachomer. Based on the following Kalver Homer logic, im hifkia behemton shel Levim behemo shel Yisrael b'midbar, if the animals of the Levim were able to release from sanctity the animals of the Jews in the Midbar, din hu shetafkia es shel atzmon, then all the more so they should be able to exempt from the kedushas peter chamor themselves. In other words, if the animals of the Kohen Levim were able to release from Kedusha, from Kedusha's Petach Hamor, the animals of others, they should certainly be able to release the Kedusha of their own. Omar Le Rava. Rava has two objections, and we've noted them with little numbers in the Gemara. Number one, V'ha Potru Kotani. That lashon, that expression, indicates that there's a focus on the people. The Mishnah had said at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, "In Potru Es Shel Yisrael." Now, the expression Potru indicates the people themselves, without a focus on the animals. V'oid Im Esau, and furthermore, if this logic were true as Abaye presents it in his reading of the Mishnah, then afilu mibchor behema tahoira niftaru, then it would stand to reason that even from the din, the laws regarding kosher variety firstborn animals, they should be exempted. The Levium, Kohenim and Levium should be exempted. Up till now, we've been focusing on the redemption and exemption from Kedusha status of the firstborn donkeys. But using the logic that Abaye suggests, this exemption should extend even to the firstborn kosher variety animals, firstborn sheep, goats, cows, aloma, tanan. Why then do we see stated in a Mishnah, loy nifteru mibachor behema tahora, elo mipidyon habenu peter chamor? The Kohanim and Levim are not exempted from the mitzvah of firstborn kosher variety animals. In other words, if a Kohen or Levi happens to have in his possession a cow or sheep or goat, and they bear a firstborn male offspring, so they will have to bring that as a korban. It will have kedushas bechor. This source tells us that they, in fact, are not exempted from Bechor Behemot Torah. The exemption of the Kohanim is with regard to the redemption of their own firstborn babies, children, or firstborn donkeys. But with Abaye's logic, that the sheep of the Kohanim are responsible for the redemption of the donkeys of the Yisraelim, then it would, the extension of that logic would be that the Kedusha of their own sheep should certainly be redeemed. Elo Omar Rava, Hachi Kotani. Now, Rava's understanding of our Mishnah. Kohanim Ulevim Pturin Hain Atzmon Mikal V'Chomer. The Kohanim Ulevim themselves, that means a Kohen or Levi that himself happens to be a firstborn, so he is exempt. He does not have to go through the process of redemption, of setting aside five pieces of silver for the redemption of a firstborn person. So we're saying that the Kohanim Levim themselves, not the animals, themselves are exempt from this mitzvah. Why? Im hifkia kedushason shel Levim, kedushas shel Yisrael bamidbar. If the sanctity of the Levim was able to serve as a redemption and hence an exemption of the firstborn Jewish people in the Midbar, as is featured, of course, in Psukim. You can see this in the Torah. Lo yafkia es shel atzmon. Then certainly they should be able to exempt themselves. So, in other words, we see in the Midbar that the Levim took the place of the firstborn Jewish people. So if they were able to take the place, and that's what we mean by redemption, if they were able to take the place of the firstborn Jewish people in the Midbar, then the tribe of Levi should certainly be able to release from Kedusha their own firstborn. The Gemara goes on and says, Ashkechon Adam. Up till this point, then, we find the Levium serving as redemption for firstborn people. behemot tamei minolon. From where do we know that Kohanim and Leviim are exempt from redeeming their own firstborn donkeys? Omar Kro, the pasuk says, "Ach podoy sifde es bechor ha'adam ves bechor ha'behemo ha'tamei'o tifde." And from this we learn, "Kol sheyeshno bevchor adam yeshno bevchor behemo tamei'o." Anyone who is bound or responsible for redeeming their own firstborn people are responsible for the halachas, the laws regarding firstborn donkeys. V'chol she'eno b'v'chor odom, and of course we're referring to the tribe of Levi, eno b'v'chor behemo tameo. They don't have to tend to their own firstborn donkeys. Omele Rav Safra l'avaye. Rav Safra, at this point in the Gemara, embarks on what we call a long question. You can see the length of this question section by the long question marking, the kuf, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a descending vertical dashed line. This takes you down to about five lines from the bottom of the Gemara. In this section, Rav Safra will, in effect, raise three questions. The first one is focused on Abaye's understanding of the Mishnah. And this you can see there is a double underline indicating the different focus points. And the second question that he raises will be focused on Abaye and Rava as well. And then a third question later will appear. In the middle of this long question, though, we will see that question number two receives a response. And this will be indicated by a short bracketed section in the Gemara as we go on. So Rav Safra turns to Abaye and says, "Lididcha the Amris Behemton, that the drosha of the Kavachomer is referring to the animals, it would then stand to reason as follows," and this will present us with a problem. "Ben Levi dehave leise deafka, a Ben Levi that happened to have a sheep that was in this parsha, in the realm of redeeming, so then lifka, he himself will be able to experience this redemption. Delo have le said afka. However, if he himself didn't own a sheep that would have been responsible for the removal of the kedusha of others, then lo lifka. Then he himself should not experience redemption." Bain l'didcha bain l'rava, and whether according to or Rava, I have the following question. Ben chodesh dafka lifka. If the Levi was a month old, that is capable, when one reaches a month old in age, then the Pidyon HaBen sets in, then the mitzvah and the requirement sets in at that age. So if the Ben Levi was a month old, that was thereby capable of redeeming the firstborn Yisrael, so then I understand that he would not be bound by the mitzvah of firstborn. Pochos mi ben chodesh delo afka lo lifka. If, however, the Levi was under a month old, month in age, that he was not capable of releasing from sanctity a Bechor Yisrael, so lo lifka, so then he himself, if he himself happened to be a firstborn, should not be exempted. Once again, the logic that was suggested by Abaye and Rava above was, if they can release others, then they themselves should certainly be redeemed. But if they were not in the situation of releasing others, as these two questions have demonstrated so far, so then they certainly should not be able to release others. A second question under this section of questioning, Levia lo tifka, a woman who comes from the tribe of Levi should not be exempted from mitzvah of pidyon haben. Now, we might as well note that what we do know is that if a woman from the tribe of Levi married a non-Levi man, a man from Yisrael, when she gives birth, so there is no requirement of pidyon haben. But according to the logic that was suggested above by Abaye and Rava, when is there exemption? Only if they were able to redeem others. But a woman, Levi, she was never responsible for redeeming others. And yet, we know that the child she bears is exempt from being redeemed, is exempt from this mitzvah pidyon haben. So he asks, Levia lo tifka, Aloma Amar of Ada bar Avos, then why is it that Rav Ada teaches Levia Shiolda, a woman from the tribe of Levi that bears a child, Bino Potur Mechamesh Sloyim? Her firstborn child that she has with a Yisrael is actually exempt from the five pieces of silver that must be ordinarily given to a Kohen in the case of a firstborn. Why should there be this exemption? And then you see a bracketed section. The length of this is indicated by a bracket length indicator, the vertical dash dotted line that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You, skipping this section, you will see a number 3, a new question referring to Aaron. But in the meantime, within the brackets, we have featured a little number 2 in parentheses, indicating that this is a response to question number 2. So, continuing now in the Gemara, ha lo kashya, this last point, the number 2 question, is not a question, it's not a problem. Kidda Marbreder of Yosef, Mishmei de Rava, based on Marbre of Yosef's explanation, the Omar that says Peter Rechem, the Pasuk itself makes a reference to Peter Rechem, meaning first born to emerge from the womb. The Peter Rechem Tolo Rachmona. The Rabbeinu Gershom explains, and you can see in his commentary on the inside margin of the Gemara page, the lower part of the narrow lines, the Omar bepeter rechem tol rachmona, we're reading the Rabbeinu Gershon now, klomar the lo shadinon beno boser Yisrael, we don't send her son according to the father who is a Yisrael, el boser dido, but rather we ascribe or identify the son according to her identity. The bepeter rechem tol rachmona, the halacha is dependent upon emergence from the womb. Ulavia, she happens to be Mishavet Shepoter Minabechor, from a tribe that's exempt from firstborn status. Shilu Hoysa, he Zohar, if she were a male, Boya Bechor, and happened to be a firstborn, Hoya Potter, she, had she been a man, would have been exempted from any need for redemption. Therefore, Af Beno Nami Bo Me Oysa Rechem Shoya Potter Minabechor Im Hoysa Zohar. So to her son is exempt from Bechor status, being that had she been a male, she would have been exempt. Number 3. V'aroin shelo hoya ba'oisoi minyan. In the Chumash, we find a census taken of the Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, which of course includes the Kohanim and Aaron as well, Aaron Kohen Gadol. In this census, we also find that the tribe of Levi replaced the Bechor, the firstborn of Yisrael. However, Aaron, that was not counted in that census in which we saw the redemption of Israel. So Lo Livka. So then his firstborn donkeys should not be exempted from the need for redemption. Desanya, the following source indicates this. Lama nokud ala Aron shebechumash hapigudim. Why is there an additional dot that appears in a Sefer Torah? Of course, as everyone knows, a Sefer Torah does not have vowels in it, but on several occasions, special dots appear over different words throughout the Torah that are there as based on a tradition in how to write a Sefer Torah. It's part of the halachas of the writing of a Sefer Torah. So in this case, the name Aaron happens to have a dot over it. And why is it present? It indicates that he was different. He was not part of that counting, of that census. And being that Aaron was not part of the census, so then he wasn't part of this redemption process. And if that be the case, so his own donkeys should not be exempted. Now Aaron himself was not a firstborn, as Tosis points out, so that's not so much an issue, but the issue does concern Aaron's donkeys that may have been firstborn. So Omar Kraw, the Gemara answers, and it gives this answer, as Rashi says, answers all of the questions. The Pasuk says, Halevi'im, Hukshu kol Halevi'im zelozeh. The all of the Levi'im are compared to one another. So that issues concerning less than a month old, more than a month old, yes, having their own animals, not having their own animals, falls away because all Levi'im are compared to one another. So if there were those that were part of the redemption process, then all are part of the redemption process, regardless of the factors mentioned above. Kohanim Minolon, from where do we know that Kohanim also are included in this comparison, in this Hekish? Kid Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, based on Rabbi Yeshua's teaching. Yom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Be'esrim v'arbo mekoimos nikru Kohanim Levi'im, v'zeh echod mehem. In 24 places the Kohanim are referred to by the term Levi, and this is one of them. The Pasuk says in Yecheskel, V'hakoyanim ha-Levi'im b'nei Tzadok. So you see Kohanim being referred to as the Levi'im. Up till now, we've been discussing the Parsha, the case of the Midbar, of the generation that left Mitzrayim and were now in the desert. Uledoros Minolon. So here we glance at Rashi at the top. Uledoros Minolon Shiftu Bechori Kehanim Uleviim. From where do we know that during the future generations, firstborn Kehanim and Leviim are exempt from needing redemption? Because based on the Kal V'chomer that we had learned till now, we wouldn't be able to derive that. The Kal V'chomer was a one-generational phenomenon where the tribe of Levi served to redeem the rest of the firstborns of Israel. And we'll call it an automatic, practically automatic redemption. However, that was a one-time thing in history. How about for future generations, how are we to know that firstborn Kehanim Levi'im are exempt from Pidyon HaBen? Omar Kro, V'hoyu Li HaLevi'im. That is what the Pasuk says in Sefer Bamidbar. And V'hoyu means Behav Yosan Yehu. They are, they remain as they are. Namely, if they were once exempt, as we saw already, so too for future generations, the firstborn of Levi'im will be exempt. Umimai debeseh. From where do we know that the sheep of the Ben Levi were responsible for the redemption of the firstborn donkeys of Israel? Now, this was indicated on Omer Aleph when in the questioning we saw it was suggested in the questions, well, a Ben Levi that happened to have a seh that was able to redeem, so his animals would be redeemed. In that questioning, we see that it's the seh, the sheep, was the one that was responsible for the removal of the kedusha of the firstborn donkeys. So the Gemara is asking, how do we know that? Omar Rav Chisda, Nemar Kesef Ludoros, Venemar Se Ludoros. We find psukim that indicate money is used for future generations for the redemption of firstborn people, and we find sheep are used during future generations for the redemption of firstborn donkeys. Ma Kesef Omar Ludoros, just like in the case of cash that's mentioned for generations, Boi Podu Ludoros. Bo podu la'oisa shah, cash is used during for all time, and it was also used in that generation. Namely, in the Midbar, we have mentioned till now that the firstborn, that the tribe of Levi redeemed the firstborn Jews. However, there was a case in the Midbar. In that case, in the Midbar, featured in the Chumash, there were actually a few more firstborn Jews than there were Levium, so that the Levium themselves could not account for all of the firstborn Jews. So what did those extra firstborn Jews in the Midbar do? So money was given to a Kohen, to the Kohanim, and that money transferred the Kedusha off of the firstborn Jews. So we see that money was used Ba'oisesha in the Midbar. Well, Af seh ha'omor ledoros, just so too in the case of the sheep, we will say this similar parallel. So too with regard to sheep, which we know during for all generations, sheep are used for the redemption of firstborn donkeys. Boi podu ledoros, bo podu ba'oisesha. So too, it was the vehicle for redemption in that time in the Midbar. Once again, the sheep of the Levium were responsible for the redemption of the firstborn donkeys of the rest of Yisrael. The Gemara, though, asks a question. How can you come to conclusions basing your argument on Kesef? In other words, we just said, just like Kesef works for generations and works at that time, so too, sheep, which works for generations, shall be the one that enabled redemption to take place at that time in the Midbar. But you can't learn from Kesef. Malik Kesef shekein poidin boyagdeshu samayser sheni. We find Kesef has a strength to it, has an added feature that not only in the realm of redemption of firstborn does it operate, but it also serves as a means of transferring of redemption when it comes to items sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, or fruits that are brought as part of the Maaser Sheni tithe, that instead of their being brought to Yerushalayim, there's an option of transferring their Kedusha onto cash. So we see cash has a wide realm of redemption possibilities, which is not the case with regard to sheep. So once again, we are asking, how do we know that sheep were the vehicle for redemption? Ela Omar Kro, Ach Podoi Sifte es Bechor Ha'odom, Ves Bechor Habeima Tameo Tifde. We have a pasuk that compares the redemption of people to the redemption of animals. Ma Bechor Odom Loi Chilakta Bein Ladoros Bein Loi Sisho Bekesef. Just like in the case of person redemption, we do not make a distinction between future generations and the example in the Midbar. So too, af behemo tameo lo tachlog bo bein ledoros bein lo isa shah. So too, with regard to behemo tameo, the redemption of firstborn donkeys, do not make a distinction between the future generations, which we know are done with sheep, and that example in the Midbar, which also we will thereby conclude was done with sheep. At this point, we start a new discussion. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, in which we have written, Se Echad Shel Ben Levi, Potar Kamo Pitre Chamurim Shel Yisrael. One sheep owned by Ben Levi was capable of redeeming many firstborn donkeys of Yisrael. Omar Rav Chanina, Se Echod Shoben Levi Potter Kamo Pitre Chamorim Yisrael. One sheep of a Ben Levi was able to exempt many firstborn donkeys of Yisrael. This is, of course, what we have been discussing till now. The sheep of Levim in the Midbar were responsible for the exemption of firstborn status of donkeys owned by the rest of Yisrael. Firstborn donkeys. Omar Abaye, Teda, you should know that this is the case. Sherei mona hakosuv oidfin ba'odam v'lo mona oidfin b'vehema. The posuk, when mentioning extras, odef are extras, it mentioned extras when it came to people. And we mentioned this before, when the census was taken, it was mentioned in the Torah features that there were more firstborn Yisraelim, non-Levim, than there were members of tribe of the entire population of Shevet Levi. Those are the Oidfim of by Adam, by people. But when it comes to the animal accounting, there is no mention of extra animals that you find by Yisrael over the sheep of the Levim. So the fact that there's no accounting made for extras or discrepancy in the case of animals, it must be that the issue of one for one is of no significance. And as we said, one sheep of Levi could redeem many sheep of the Yisrael, many donkeys of the Yisraelim. The Gemara asks, Mimai, from how do you know this to be certain? Dilmo lohavu nefishi lehu behemos tuva. Maybe it simply wasn't so that there were many animals of Yisrael more than those of the Levium. In other words, it was basically like by people. It was a one-for-one issue. Loi sakadaitoch. No, you can't think that there were not many more animals of Yisrael, many more animals of donkeys, firstborn donkeys of Yisrael, than the animals of the Levium. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, Umikne rav hoyo livnei ruvein uvnei god. Here, in referring to two tribes, it says they had lots of cattle, indicating there was a vast amount of animals that were in the possession of Yisrael, much more than tribe of Levi. So the Gemara says, Dilma, but still, afilu hachi, even so, it could be that pshutim de Levium havu kaimi libahadi b'chorei Yisrael. That when it comes to a specific analysis, it may very well have been that the regular pshutim, the non-firstborn, the general animals of Levium, were equal in number to the firstborn donkeys of Yisrael. So it's, even though Yisrael had many, many animals, but as far as firstborn donkeys are concerned, maybe that equaled in number the regular animals, the regular sheep of the Levium. So once again, how do you know that one sheep of a Ben Levi was able to exempt many firstborn donkeys? Omar Kra. The Pasuk says, and here the focus is on the grammar, it says, V'es behemas halavim tachas behemton. And we've dashed underlined the key words. Behemas is a word in a singular form, and behemton is in a plural form. Behemo achas tachas behemois harbe. One sheep of the Levium would be responsible for many donkeys, firstborn donkeys of Yisrael. The Gemara asks, V'emo, still, if you're focusing on grammar, even though the word behemo may appear in the singular, it can have a plural connotation. As the Pasuk says in Yoina, it says, behemo rabo. And in reference to the city of Nineveh, in the story of Yonah, it mentions behemo in the singular, and you see it referring to many. Behemo rabo, many behemo. So too, in the pasuk that we just cited with regard to the animals of the Levium, it uses the word singular animal, but maybe it's a reference to many. Imkain, if that were really so in the pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Gimel, then Lichtoiv Krah, then the Pasuk where we use the dashed underlining should have read as follows: Oi, either Behemo Tachas Behemo, Oi Behemton Tachas Behemton. Then within the same Pasuk there shouldn't have been a grammatical change in terms of numbers. The Pasuk should have been balanced. The Behemo instead of Behema, or Behemton instead of Behemton. My Behemas Tachas Behemton. Why within the same Pasuk do you see a switch from singular to plural? Shma Mino Chad Peter Chad Potar Tuva. From this we conclude that one sheep of Levium Potar exempted Tuva, many firstborn donkeys of Israel. Omar Rovo Af Ananami Tanino. Rovo points out that we have a Tanaic source that indicates this power, this property of one being responsible for multiple redemptions. This source says, as you can see, it's in a frame indicating we have a Tanaic source. It says Upoide Boi Poomim Harbe. Rashi explains if you would have, for example, a sheep that was used for the redemption of a firstborn donkey. And that sheep, as you may very well know, was then given to the Kohen. Let us say the person that had used the sheep for the redemption of his firstborn donkey gave it to a Kohen and then bought it back from the Kohen. So this source tells us he can use that same sheep for an additional redemption. And this can take place many times. You have, in effect, one sheep absorbing the kedusha of many firstborn donkeys. The Rabbi Hanino, Taimo de Masnisin, Meforesh. And Rabbi Hanino, whom we saw earlier, you can see his name was underlined above, and there are little arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, enabling you to find where you saw him. You line up the arrow here and scan up the page to you'll hit the next arrow, and you see the appearance of Rabbi Hanino. The Gemara points out, Rabbi Hanino taimo de masnisin meforesh v'hochi ko'amar. Rabbi Hanino's role was to explain the Mishnah. And thusly, he said, my taimo, why is it that the Mishnah says, poideboi pomem harbe, that one can use a sheep many times? Mishum, because the se echol shel ben Levi poter kamo pitrei chamorim shel Yisrael. Because of this, we'll say, precedent that one se was capable of redeeming many firstborn donkeys of Yisrael. So since we have this precedent of one sheep being responsible for many donkeys, therefore, as the Mishnah says, this scenario can take place of the Yisrael buying back that very same sheep that he used previously for redeeming a firstborn donkey, and he can do that again and again. At this point, we start a new discussion, and we have a topic heading and structural note in the outside margin indicating that which we are about to learn. So you see a house form, and to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara you also notice a Roman numeral number 1 in a little house form. And if you scan down, you'll hit the bottom line where you see a Roman numeral 2. These represent Shnei Shlavim, two stages, B'machloikis Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish, concerning a controversy between them, Ikitshu b'choros b'midbar. Was there a sanctification of firstborn in the desert after the Jewish people left Egypt? Rabbi Yochanan says Kitshu, that there was a sanctification, and Reish Lakish says Lo Kitshu. A little later in the Gemara, we will notice triangles appearing, with the point facing up, which is the case regarding most of the triangles we will see. Those represent kushis al Reish Lakish, questions or challenges to Reish Lakish's position. And with the triangle flipped over, there will be one of these that will represent a kushya al Reb Yochanan. And we'll see later that's a function of two versions of that particular question. Now the Gemara. Itmar, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Kitshu B'choros B'midbar. firstborn that were born in the Midbar were sanctified. In other words, had gained the Bechor sanctity. V'Reish Lakish Amar Lo Kidshu Bechoros B'Midbar. Those that were born in the Midbar did not have Bechor sanctity. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kidshu Bechoros B'Midbar. He says that, Rabbi Yochanan says they did have this sanctity. The Rachmon Amar Likdashu. The Torah says they shall be sanctified. Kidichtiv. The Pasuk says, Kadesh Li Kol Bechor. Sanctify unto me all firstborn. V'Reish Lakish Amar Lo Kidshu Bechoros B'Midbar. Midichtiv. He says that they did not gain sanctity in the desert. As the Pasuk says, V'Hoya Ki Yiviacho Hashem El Eretz Haknani. This is featured in Shmois Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph, and it will be when you enter, when the Almighty brings you into the land of the Canaanim, into the land of Israel. Uksiv Basrei. Following that, it says in Pasuk Yud Beis Vahavarta, and we, on the side of the Gemara, we've included the entire Pasuk, where you can see Shmos Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis has been written in Vahavarta Kol Peter Rechem Lashem V'Chol Peter Sheger Beimo Yisher Yeh L'Cho Hazachorim Lashem. There, the Pasuk is, this Vahavarta is a reference to the sanctification of firstborn. So if you look at these two psukim in Shmos Perek Yud Gimel Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, you see that the Torah is saying upon entrance to the land there shall be sanctification. Michlal, the Gemara goes on, Michlal, we infer from this the Meikor Lo Kadosh, that prior to this in the Midbar there was no sanctification. Esve Rabbi Yochanan L'Reish Lakish, as you can see, and we explained earlier, the triangle with the point facing up, we have here Rabbi Yochanan challenging Reish Lakish. The source says, "An Shaloi Hukam Hamishkan." Prior to the setting up of the Mishkan, the Mishkan was, as you all know, the portable base Hamigdash, if you will, that was set up in the desert. Now, it was set up in the second year of their sojourn in the desert. So prior to it being set up, hoyu bomos mutaros, private altars were allowed, v'avoido b'vechoros. And while we've dashed underline this, it says the avoda, the processing of korbonus, was done by the firstborn, indicating that they had this sanctity. And as we mentioned in today's shiur much earlier, that prior to the transfer of Kedusha to the tribe of Levi, the sacrificial activity was overseen by the firstborn. So prior to the setting up of the Mishkan, the Bechoros were sanctified. So Reish Lakish says this does not indicate that they were sanctified in the desert. Rather, this is a reference to those firstborn that left Egypt. In other words, in Egypt there was sanctification of firstborn, but once they left Egypt there was no more sanctification of those born in the Midbar. So Reish Lakish says that this source that mentions that the Mishkan activity, the sacrificial activity, was overseen by Bechoros, that is not a reference to those born in the Midbar, but rather those firstborn that left Mitzrayim. And as we said, in fact, those certainly did have Kedushas Bechor. And Hochinami Mistabra, it's also very logical to use this approach. De'i lo teima hochi, if you don't accept this, but rather insist on saying that this source that said avodu was b'choros is a reference to those born in the midbar, ben shana bar mever avodahu, a 1 year old person child is capable of doing avoda. We just mentioned that the Mishkan was set up in the second year of the sojourn in the desert. And if you want to insist that Avodah B'Vechoros is a reference to those born in the Midbar and not those that left Mitzrayim, you're dealing with children that are within a year of age. In fact, this is so obvious, the Gemara asks, the Kori Law, my Kori Law. What was the intent in asking the question in the first place? In other words, what did Rabbi Yochanan attempt to accomplish when he raised or cited this source as a challenge to Reish Lakish? At this point, the Gemara now embarks on an analysis of the havamina. Hochi kokashile, thusly Rabbi Yochanan intended when he raised his question. E amris bishlamo delo posik kedushu sayu. If you say that there was no stopping of sanctification, in other words, just like sanctification took place in Mitzrayim, that sanctification continued with regard to those born in the desert. So, hanoch demei koronami lo paku kedushu sayu. Those that were originally sanctified in Egypt would not lose that sanctity. If, however, as you want to say, that there was a cessation of Bechor sanctification in the Midbar, then Hanoch de Mikora, those that had been sanctified originally, Nami Poko Leik Yishusayo, it would stand to reason that there should be a stopping of the sanctity of those that were originally sanctified. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan is saying in his question that if you want to say that in the Midbar there was a stopping of sanctity, of Bechor status, so those that left Mitzrayim also should experience this stopping of sanctity. Ve'idach, Reish Lakish responds, De Kadosh Kadosh, De Lo Kadosh Lo Kadosh. There is a big difference. If something had gained sanctity, so that sanctity status would remain. Regarding those that were just born now, that didn't have a prior status of Kedusha, of sanctity, so they won't gain Kedusha of course we're saying in the Midbar. As we go on, we continue with questions. You can see another triangle. This represents Rabbi Yochanan challenging Reish Lakish, but in addition to this, we have a little Aleph that we've included or added to the space to meet it right-hand side of the Gemara text. A few lines later, you will see a little Beis. Aleph and Beis represent two versions of this questioning. On the line opposite where you see the little bays, you'll notice at the end of the line a squiggle underlined expression, Iko Diamri, meaning there are those that say as follows. And that indicates the squiggle underline we use often to highlight different versions, an alternative approach. And there you'll see the same text cited in this first version is cited there. In an opposite fashion. The Gemara, Eisvei, the Tanaic source says, Oisoi Hayoim Shukam HaMishkan, the day that the Mishkan was set up, Korvu Lohem B'Yisrael, there was an offering of sacrifices, Nidorim Nidovas, Chatos Vashomos, Bechoros U'Maisros. All kinds of different types of sacrifices were offered. Let us focus on simply Bechoros, that which we've dashed, underlined. So it says that firstborn animals were offered as sacrifices, and here, of course, we're talking about the day the Mishkan was set up. That means in the Midbar. So there was Bechor sanctification that took place in the desert. So Reish Lakish will answer, Hochi Nami, here too, as we answered before, Be'osin Shiyotsu Mimitzrayim. This is a reference to those firstborn animals that had been born already when they left Mitzrayim. U'mino. And from this, we will further conclude that there was no sanctification in the Midbar. Because it says in this source, Oisoi hayoim hu de koroiv, only on that day, the day the Mishkan was set up, there was offering of Bechoros, Mikan Ve'elich Lo Korov. But from that point on, there was no offering of Bechoros for the very simple reason that in the Midbar there was no sanctification of firstborn. So Reish Lakish, in a sense, turns the tables by focusing on this very source, which shows his point that only on that day was there a Bechor offering and not further. Iko Diamri. And by the way, when we say and not further, let us not forget that upon entrance to the land of Israel, so the issue of sanctification of Bechor, according to Reish Lakish, was reinstated. Now, Iko Diamri, there are those that say regarding this source Eisvei Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Here, the triangle has been flipped over to show you how the direction of the question has changed. Here, Reish Lakish is taking the offensive, asking on Rabbi Yochanan from this source. Oisa Yom Shugoma Mishkan Karvu Lohem Yisrael Nedar Minadavos Chatos Vashamos Bucharos Umaisros. The day the Mishkan was set up, there was an offering of different types of sacrifices, including Bucharos. And from this source, we can infer Oisa Hayom In. On that day, yes, Mikan V'Eilech Lo. But beyond that day that the Mishkan was set up, they were in the Midbar, as you know, for another 38 years, there was no offering of firstborn. So this poses a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan will answer, Emo, understand as follows, May Oiso Hayom V'Eilech. From that day, from the day the Mishkan was set up, onwards, there was an offering of Bechoros. So the emphasis is, on that day, there was an offering of Bechoros, but prior to that, no. Umay komashmalon, and so what is this source teaching us? Me oisei hayoim in, me korolo, from that day they offered Bechoros, but prior to that day they did not offer Bechoros. Well, Alma, from this we see, choyvois beboma loy korov. Prior to the setting up the Mishkan, there were altars, but they were boma altars, they were personal altars. And from this we see that sacrifices that were of an obligatory nature were not to be offered on bomos. A v'chor is an example of a chova, of an obligatory sacrifice, as opposed to nedarim and nedavos, which are voluntary offerings. Voluntary offerings could be offered, could have been offered on bomos. Bomos, well, they had bomos before the Mishkan was set up. But as we see here, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us the chiddush here is that Bechoros could not have been offered. They had to wait till the Mishkan was set up, and at that point they started offering Bechoros, but that continued through the Midbar, as Rabbi Yochanan says that Kitshu Bechoros Bamidbar. Toshma. Well, once again, we bring a source. A source is cited by the Gemara, which will pose a challenge to Reish Lakish. Nimseis ata oimer b'shloisha mekaymus kitshu b'choros liyisrael. There were three times that there was a sanctification of the firstborn of Yisrael. What are the three places? B'mitzrayim, uvamidbar, ubekinisoson, Yisrael la'aretz. In Egypt, in the desert, and you notice how we've underlined that Ubamidbar. This is the focus of the question, and upon their entrance to the land of Israel, b'Mitzrayim Aomer, regarding Mitzrayim, what does it say? Kadesh li kol b'chor, sanctify unto me all firstborn. Bamidbar hu Omer ki li kol b'chor b'vnei Yisrael, unto me shall be all the firstborn. And b'Kinisasim la'aretz hu Omer, there is a third pasuk that says v'hoya ki yivyacho v'ha'avarta. Now these psukim we saw cited earlier. These were psukim. This v'hoya ki yivyacho was cited above from Shmois Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph and Pasuk Yud Beis that followed. Well, we see from this source that there was sanctification of Bechoros in the Midbar. That's a question on Reish Lakish. Answer. Omar Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok, b'shloshi mekomos huzharu al habachoros likdash v'loi kodshu. What the source is saying is, in three places, the Almighty taught concerning the need for sanctifying, but not that they were actually sanctified. The Gemara asks, if you're going to say that, Ubi Mitzrayim Nami Lo Kadosh, how Karmin the Kadosh? Are you going to say, well, one of the three places mentioned was Mitzrayim? You're going to say that in Mitzrayim they weren't sanctified, but we all agree, everyone agrees that in Mitzrayim they were sanctified. Hochi Ka'omar, thusly are we to understand, and in defense of Reish Lakish's approach. Mehen Kitshu, Mehen Lo Kitshu. In three places there was a Azhora concerning, there was a warning, a teaching concerning the sanctification. However, as far as actual sanctification, some places there was and some places no. Maskif lo Rav Papa. Rav Papa raises an objection to the approach taken by Rish Lakish. Uva midbar lo kachu, and in the midbar in the desert there was no sanctification. Voksiv, the pasuk says pekod kol b'chor zachor livnei Yisrael, and this pasuk was stated in the midbar, and they were definitely born in the midbar. This pasuk indicates, and. As such, it's clear that there was sanctification of those born in the midbar based on a posuk. How could Rish Lakish say otherwise? Ela I itmar hochi itmar. And as we mentioned at the outset of this section of Gemara, this is now the second approach to the presentation of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. And hence you see the house form with the Roman numeral number 2 to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, opposite this last line of Amud Beis. It says, the Hochi, thusly they say, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kidshu v'lo Pasku, there was sanctification in the Midbar, and it continued throughout their stay in the Midbar. Reish Lakish Amar Kidshu, there was a sanctification, u Pasku, but it did not continue throughout the entire period. U Pasku, Rashi points out, that is from the census that was referred to in this pasuk, the Pekod Kol Bechor, which is a pasuk referring to a census, but it stopped. In other words, there was no more sanctification after that in the midbar. We're continuing at the top line of Hey Omen Aleph, Bishlamo Reish Lakish Kidomar Taimei. We understand Reish Lakish's approach. He cited these two psukim. In other words, we see there was sanctification, but we see there was also a new sanctification that started upon their entrance to the land, so that there was a break in events. Once again, there was a sanctification at the time of a census, and then a new sanctification upon entrance to land. Had it not stopped, as Rabbi Yochanan suggests, so there would be no need to cite a special new sanctification upon entrance to the land. It simply would have been a continuation of that which started earlier. Elul Rabbi Yochanan my taima. What is the basis for Rabbi Yochanan, who says that that sanctification took place in the midbar? In other words, it never stopped. Omar Ribbelozer. Ribbelozer announces to us, he answers. He says, Rabbi Yochanan chazoi b'chilma, I saw Rabbi Yochanan in my dream. De milsam al yusa amina, and based on my seeing Rabbi Yochanan in a dream, that's an indication that I am going to be saying something good. In other words, now his answer. Omar Kra, the posuk says, Li yihiyu, in Bamidbar, Paragimel posuk yugimel. And liyu means b'havyosan yuhu, they shall continue as such, so that the b'chor was sanctified and remained continuously sanctified. Rabbi Yochanan v'yakiviyachov avarta mai ovitlei. What does Rabbi Yochanan do with the psukim that Reish Lakish cited? Answer, Ahu miboya le lechidatona debe Rabbi Shmuel. He needs that for that which is taught in a source learned in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. The source says, Asei mitzvah zu, perform this mitzvah of Bechora, shebishvila tikones laoretz. Because of it, you will merit entering the land of Israel. Amar lei Rav Mordechi l'Rav Ashi. Atun hochi masnisu lo, anan ibcho masnina lo. Rav Mordechi says to Rav Ashi that you have learned this discussion or machlokas being Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish as we have learned till now. However, we, anan ibcho masnina lo. Once again, you can see our use of the squiggle underline indicating a transition, representing a different version. So he says, we have learned in an opposite way. Rabbi Yochanan Amar lo kitshu b'choros b'midbar, Reish Lakish Amar kitshu b'choros b'midbar. Exactly the opposite of what we have learned till now. This is, of course, Rav Mordechi's version, where Rav Yochanan is saying there was no sanctification of Becharos of firstborn in the desert, and Reish Lakish saying there was. Omar Lei, so Reish Rav Ashi then asks, according to you, Ve'afchis Nami Teyuvta, are you then going to switch around the presentation of the questions? In other words, we saw questions against the position of Lo Kitshu, and we saw Rabbi Yochanan asking Reish Lakish, are you then going to say that Reish Lakish was asking those questions on Rabbi Yochanan? The Afchisu Lo Laha de Rabbi Elazar, and are you going to switch around also the little story that we saw up on the second line from the top, where Rabbi Elazar says, I saw Rabbi Yochanan in a dream, etc.? Well, we know that Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, but according to the way you are presenting things, it would then come out that Rabbi Elazar says, I saw Reish Lakish in a dream, which is kind of unlikely as far as our discussion. Omar Lei, so Rav Mordechi responds, Lo Kitshu, the expression that I said with regard to Rav Yochanan means Lo Hutzruchu Likdash. There was no need for sanctification. In other words, sanctification of firstborn started in Mitzrayim and it continued in the Midbar. In effect, what he's saying right now is the same as our original version. So the Gemara says, Ihachi hainu didan. Then what you're saying is the same as the way we are saying it. Why are you coming with your seeming new presentation and saying Rabbi Yochanan said lo kitshu, and now you're simply saying lo kitshu means they didn't have to, lo hutzuchu, they didn't need to re-sanctify or reinstate sanctification of firstborn because it never stopped in the Midbar. So what you're saying is the same as what we said. So the Gemara answers, Komash Molon, what Rav Mordechi is communicating to us is, Chayav Odom Loimar Beloshon Raboi, that when you say something over in the name of your teacher, you have to say it using the expression that he used. And hence, Rav Mordechi is insisting on saying it the way he heard it. Namely, he said, Rabbi Yochanan said lo kitshu, of course with our original understanding that simply means lo hutzuchu likdash, but say it the way Rabbi Yochanan said it using this expression lo kitshu. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.